a word, just a smile. And it's about being noticed. And I think it was this guy that said that the name Jehovah Roi, R-O-I, means the God who sees. And he's the God who sees us, who sees people, that none of us, you know, go unnoticed. So, yeah, just an encouragement with that. Now, Patrick, we have had the most stressful morning, and without this, my sermon doesn't make sense. So, this clip that I want to show you is one. You know, the BBC did a series with those animals that were like spy cameras. This is a little clip from one of those, and it's these baby penguins. They are emperor penguins, and they've at the stage now where the parents have decided it's time to leave the nest. So they are now have got to make this journey from where they were to the sea. So hopefully, just pray that it works. Pray that we've got some sound. When we see examples in creation where you can almost say, I can see God in that. You know, it tells a story. It's a picture of what God is like. And we see those little penguins taking... Don't you just love penguins? It's even the way they move, as if he's saying to them, you know, go on, go away. Just the way that they move. But we see them setting off on this journey together, and then they meet this first challenge, and it's like this massive challenge. These petrels are huge birds, and actually petrels' favourite food is a baby emperor penguins. That's the delicacy. That's what they want to... This is the next bit I started to... That's my next... That's coming up later. By the way, if anybody's listening to this on the tape and you want to see that clip that I've just shown, if you Google baby penguins and giant petrel, it'll bring up the clip for you to see. Or if you want to see it again, there are some longer versions on there. So the penguins, they've met their giant, and they try to escape, and then we see that first one fall, and he grabs hold of it. But what's interesting is the way that the rest of the group are not going to let that petrel have that baby. And the way that they gather themselves. And they stand almost like back to back, don't they, to make that circle. And no matter where that petrel moves around that group, they bring themselves up to full height. And they are not going to let anything happen to one of them. They're all looking out for each other. And so we sort of see that in them. So I just want, it reminded me of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. And it's probably one you're familiar with, but I'm going to read it to you. And it says this: stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. So this passage is warning us to beware of our great enemy, the devil, Satan. We don't often talk about him, partly because I think sometimes we give him more credit than he deserves, that we say that things are because of him, when actually it's because of us and because of our choices and the silly things that we do. But actually, he is real. You know, if there's God and he is light, then there's Satan and he is darkness. And Peter tells us that just like that giant petrel, he walks around like a roaring lion looking for those that he can attack. And I don't know if you know this, but in the wild, that lions, they tend to hunt at night. Not because their eyesight is particularly better in low light conditions, you know, that it's better than the prey, but because in the darkness they can creep up, and obviously the other animals are probably sleepier, they've settled down for the night, and he can creep, or it's usually actually the females that hunt, but they can creep up and they stand a better chance of getting their prey during the night. And how many of us know that Satan loves darkness, that he is known as being dark? And so that doesn't necessarily mean that if you know Satan's going to have a go at us, it's going to be in the night time. Although, I don't know about you, but it's often in the night when I'm awake and I've got things on my mind and I've got those worries, that that's the time when maybe I start to dwell on those things. It's in the night time sometimes that things that we're going through, things that we're facing, seem enormous, and the morning seems a long way away. But although Satan loves darkness, that means that he can't do much when the light of God is shining in our lives, when we are looking to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and we're told that the light pushes back the darkness. So in those times when maybe you feel, we often describe ourselves, don't we, as being in a dark place, or, you know, in the night when those worries come, we remember that Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the one that dispels darkness, that we don't need to fear those dark times, we don't need to fear those dark places, because Jesus steps in and he brings his light and he pushes the darkness back, he pushes Satan back. And sometimes we can think that, you know, maybe we're being weak if Satan's deciding to just have a go at us at any particular time. But we read in the New Testament, in Luke, that it happened to Jesus. That, you know, whatever we face, whatever we go through, that he's been through it. He's faced it. And we read that he'd gone into the wilderness. It was at the start of his ministry. He was having 40 days where he was fasting and praying. Now, if any of you have tried to go without food for any length of time, you know how difficult that is. And after 40 days, you are weak. You know, it makes you feel weak in your body, but also emotionally and things like that. And that's the point that Satan comes to Jesus and he starts to tempt him. And the first thing he does is he tempts him with food. Oh, Jesus, you know, you're hungry. Turn this stone into bread. And we read, if you want to read that, you can find that in Luke, I think it's chapter 4. But you can read that and see how Jesus dealt with it. And what did he do? He quoted scripture. So when Satan, because if we think right back to when Eve was tempted, when he appeared to Eve in the Garden of Eden, what does he do? He starts to sow doubt into Eve's mind about, well, did God say? Did he say that? And the doubt started in her mind, and she would say, no, he didn't say that. And so Satan leads her down this path. But what Jesus does when he tries that trick with him is he starts to quote scripture, man shall not live by bread alone. And each of the times, and it was all different ways that that Jesus was tempted, he had his answer in scripture. If we want to know how to stand against those attacks, read your Bible. Find out what God actually says. Find out what he says about who we are in him, about how strong we are in him, about how he is, the names that we were calling out this morning, our deliverer, our saviour. He's all those things, and that is where our strength comes from. So we don't need to fear the enemy, because we have got the light of the world as our saviour. So when we watch documentaries about wildlife, we often will see, they'll show animals hunting, and often the lion is one of the ones that they like to show.
And what you see is that they lie in wait, don't they? They sort of are waiting and they're watching the herds, and they're waiting for the moment when one of the herd drifts off by themselves. Now, the herd are often aware that the predators are around, but I don't know what happens. Maybe one forgets, or maybe one loses where it's at, and it just sort of drifts away. And the moment that that animal gets separated from the herd, that's when they'll attack. And as soon as that animal realizes that that something's coming after him, he starts to run, but because he's lost his sense of bearing, he's lost where he is in the herd, he often can run into danger rather than away from danger. But when the herd's together, it's too strong. The animal know that it can't, because the herd can stick together and protect themselves. And what they do is they protect the young ones in the herd. And you just get that sense of security from that. And in that picture, when I've looked at that, and I thought, isn't that what we should be like? As, you know, as brothers and sisters, as family, as church. That when we stick together, when we sit alongside each other, when we hear each other, you know, we talked about Sue, you know, someone that you know, maybe we can help, well, we gather round and we help and we support each other. And that's where our strength is. Individually, we might think that we're very weak. But when we pull together, when we stand together, when we look to God and we stand on the promises that he has given us, we are strong. And so Satan can try and attack us. He can try and come against us. But our strength is that we're there for each other. We pray for each other. We support each other. We encourage each other. We give those words of scripture where we can hold on to, and we can give them to people. And we've got the Holy Spirit who dwells in each one of us, who speaks to us, who strengthens us, and who protects us. If you want to look in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, it says this. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So that's Paul writing there. But it's this where he says about standing side by side, fighting together. And that's what we do. That's what we do when someone can't stand. Probably you know, one of my favourite books in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah. And there's that picture where they're trying to rebuild the wall, and they've got all the enemies around them, and they're trying to stop them, trying to prevent them doing what God has called them to do, to rebuild those walls of Jerusalem. And they come to Nehemiah and they say, look, we can't do this. We're tired and we can't build, and the enemy's coming against us. And so Nehemiah says, okay, while some of you are building, others of you will be given, you've got the swords and you are there to look after and to protect. And so we all have that role. Sometimes we are called to stand up and fight on behalf of other people. Sometimes we're called, you know, when we're in a weak place, we're called to pray for people that can't pray for themselves. We're called to encourage each other when people are low. We all have a part to play, and there will be times when some of us are strong and others of us aren't, but we're there for each other. And when we work like that, Satan has got no foothold, no room here amongst us. So we need to stand firm, just like those chicks did. They stood in that circle back to back. They stood up to their full height, because they are emperor penguins. When they're fully grown, when they're adult, they're the biggest penguins. And so although they weren't there yet, they know what they're going to be. And so They stand there. And I love the way that chick at the front just puts out his arms like that, doesn't he? You know, come on then. Come on then, you try it. And the others are standing there ready to do the same. And it's such a powerful illustration for us, isn't it? You know, we might not be the biggest, the best person that God's called us to be yet, but we will be. We're on that journey. We know where we're heading to. We know where we're walking to. And in those times when we're challenged, we stand not as, you know, like those like little baby penguins, but as the penguins that they're going to be. Let's stand as the people that God has called us to be, and how he sees us. So where Satan would use these situations to pull us down, we need to remind him that we have a saviour, a protector, and he has no claim on us. And how can we do that? You know, sometimes we might feel like we're a bit exposed. Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that actually we are not defenceless. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18, and you could do a whole sermon on this, so you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to. I just want to read it to you to see that actually we have been equipped with everything that we need to withstand the attacks of the enemy. So a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil, all strategies of the devil, that we can stand firm. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. God's given it to us. God's given it to us. We need to take that armour that he has provided for us. And, you know, we've heard it said many times that actually, if you look at that armour, what it does is it covers the front of us. There's actually no back armour. When we're standing in that circle with our backs to each other, we don't need it, do we? Because somebody else is watching our back. So let's stand together, let's you know, encourage each other, let's look, maybe this week that's something that you could look at, maybe read that passage again, read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, and look at that and think, you know, what does that mean for me? You know, the helmet of salvation, what's here, it's our thoughts, it's the things that we believe. You know, he's given us salvation, we need to know that salvation, when we're starting to think and our thoughts are out of control, we've got a helmet of salvation. So read through that, see what God is saying. And I want to remind you again, in that clip we saw, that wonderful moment. In fact, I had to keep replaying it just to see that little Adelie penguin running along as fast as his little legs could take him. He was little and that petrel was huge. And it reminded me of David and Goliath. You know, when David came against Goliath, Goliath was huge. Everybody else was frightened of him, but he didn't see the giant. He knew who he was in God. He knew that God was almighty, that he could defeat the Philistines. And there's this little penguin running up. He's not scared of this giant petrel. And so he comes and he puts himself between the chicks and the giant. And isn't that what God does for us? He comes running in, our rescuer, our saviour, our, you know, the one that fights for us. And he comes and he puts himself between them. And the enemy has to flee. Why? Because he knows he's defeated. He's defeated. And then that little penguin you know, takes all those chicks. What happens at the end, actually, what you don't see is that they get to the water side and they're all looking and trying to decide whether to jump in. And the penguin, the Adelie penguin, stands on the edge and he's looking in, and they say, oh, he seems to be looking for something. And then all these other Adelie penguins just jump out of the water, and they said he had been the advance runner, that he was the one that had arrived first, ahead of this hundreds, I think, well, I don't, maybe not hundreds, but it looked like hundreds. They're all just jumping out the sea, and he was the one that had run ahead. He was the one that had led the way. And I thought, that's what Jesus does for us. He leads the way, doesn't he? He's the one that has gone before. So when we think about things like, you know, what Jesus has done for us, that he's defeated death, he's done it, and we can be confident in that because he's the one that has gone ahead. He is the one that has done it. So whatever we do, we're just following in his path. And I just thought, what an incredible picture. What a lovely scene to see him doing that, to see this penguin doing that, and to accompany them to see and to know that's what Jesus does for us. So he doesn't abandon them, and he watches over them as they continue on their journey. And James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Why will he flee from us? Because Jesus is living in us. We have his spirit in us. And that's how we can stand, and that's how we can resist the devil. Not because of us, because of anything that we've done, but because of who he is and his spirit dwelling in us. In that passage that I read right at the beginning in 1 Peter, and where it talks about Satan, it says that he goes around like a roaring lion. So it doesn't actually say he is a roaring lion. You see, one thing that we often forget about him is that he's a liar. He will tell us anything, want us to believe anything. He will threaten us and accuse us. He'll try and get us to feel guilty about stuff that we've maybe already asked for forgiveness for. He'll try and get us to doubt things. But in this passage it says he's like a lion. He's not really a lion. He only imitates a lion. But we do have a lion. And Revelation calls him the Lion of Judah. Revelation 5:5 says, but one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. The Lion of Judah is Jesus, and he's won the victory. He's defeated Satan, and when he roars, his enemy flees. So when you feel like you're being attacked, when things seem to be falling apart, when your faith feels shaky, or we feel like God's far away, remember that we're part of a family and we all stand together. And as we pray and encourage each other, let's remember we've got a Saviour who's rescued us, and we've got a Lion of Judah whose roar will scatter our enemy, and the enemy knows that he is defeated. I want to finish by hopefully playing a song. The words will come up. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. But if you want to, you know, as you're sitting, to sing the songs, the words, then please do. But it's just a song about Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Lord, we thank you that you are bigger and stronger, and you are the Lord Almighty, and that whatever comes against us, whatever we may be facing, you are bigger than it. And Lord, we thank you that we have someone that stands in front of us, that leads us, someone that is our protector, our rescuer. And Lord, I just want to pray for anyone that's here this morning that has just felt that life's maybe been a bit of a struggle at the moment, or maybe a weighed down or struggling with doubts. Lord, this morning I pray that you would just come, that you would draw near, and that you would lift them up, that you would shine your light into that darkness. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us, that you would just help us to realize who we are in you, how you have equipped us for the battles that we face. Lord, help us to put on that armor that you have provided for us to stand against anything that the enemy might throw at us. And Lord, we just pray, would you help us to stand together? Would you help us to just be aware of each other and each other's lives? Lord, would you help us to be the people that you've called us to be? And that, Lord, that as we do that, that we would just draw strength and encouragement from each other. Lord, thank you that you are here and that you are moving amongst us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us. And Lord, we just ask this week that we would go out with boldness and with confidence because of who you are, the Lion of Judah who sits on the throne, who has won the battle. And that means that we have nothing to fear because we have you. Lord, we thank you. Amen.